Telling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena Kirsten, how are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm ready for us to go to Europe.
I'm also ready for us to go to Europe, and I'm also very stoked that this is becoming a bit of an annual tradition now, is discussing Eurovision, which has just been in the last week. And
yeah,
it's just a wild, campy ride, isn't it?
I know, and it's too much, obviously, for us to talk about, because it's had such a long history. It's been going since the 50s, and I feel like in New Zealand we're a little bit out of the loop on it, but so many people love it in New Zealand and Australia too, and it's just an important for global music, telling us what we like.
Tell us a little bit about how it kind of started, Kirsten. What was the actual original reason for Eurovision existing?
So it's been going since the 1950s, and for some reason I had thought it was, you know, about after the war and you know, World War II and trying to get Europe together. But no, it was for broadcasters who just wanted to play with having live broadcasts, you know, sort of experimenting with new technology. You know, and so I don't know where I'd heard that mythology, but
it feels like what you'd expect.
Yeah,
to be,
that's,
you know,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's been going for like 68 years now, and 52 countries have been involved. It's the longest running sort of show outside of sport, you know, certain sport contests going on.
Far out.
And it's controversial, but people love it. I am not into it. It's not my cup of tea, I'm going to be honest.
Well, luckily for you, Kirsten, it's absolutely my cup of tea, so we can balance each other's vibes out here.
Yeah, so I'll be giving the objective opinion. Yeah, okay, here you go, guys. This
come
is why.
Come closer and listen. The beat of my heart keeps on missing. I notice it most when we're kissing. Come closer and love me tonight.
So what are we listening to here, Kirsten?
This is the British entry and winner. Gosh.
From 1960-something, is that right?
69, yeah.
Wow.
This is Lulu. She's a Scottish television personality.
Boom, bang, bang, bang all the time. It's such a love.
It's a waltz. You can hear oom-pa-pa, oom-pa-pa.
I feel like this was kind of a radio hit as well at the time, because I definitely think one of my grandparents had a vinyl of this, maybe.
Yeah, but when you think of 1969, what was going on musically, and to have this be the iconic representation of, it's just, you know, like, it's popular music, but it's outside the sort of what's happening in the popular music community.
Yeah,
but it's its own sort of amoeba, it's its own thing.
It is.
That this would be popular, you know, it's not reflected in, you know, what's in the charts at that time or the other musical trends.
The other thing is, I feel like in the 60s, Britain did quite well in Eurovision because they kind of got into the campy silliness of it. This song is called Boom Bang A Bang. I mean,
okay, yeah, obviously catchy. You can sing along. Now, this is important too, because we're talking, you know, outside Anglophone countries. And so, in fact, they had to make a rule that you had to perform in your own language, because they found if a country performed in English, they did better.
Right.
So only UK is still allowed to perform in English.
Is iconically hilarious, because they are so bad at Eurovision now. They tank, because they don't get into the camp spirit. They try and just write a normal pop song, and everyone's like, that's not why we're here. Sorry.
I know, but I mean, how do you create something that has that spirit? It's just evolved naturally out of some sort of human trend that they want. Oh, okay, catch. All right.
We've fast forward by several decades here.
This is 2021.
Loro non sanno di che parlo. Vestiti sporchi fra di fango. Giallo di siga fra le dita. Io con la siga.
Now, who are we listening to, Kirsten?
This is Måneskin. Che posso fare questo salto? Italian. I don't know. They call it metal. It's sort of glammy. Let's say glammy.
Glam. Pop rock.
Glamish.
Glamish. Glamesque. I think you can definitely, you could say lots of things about this band, but you can't argue that they're not glamorous.
Now, So apparently it is normally kind of poppy, bubblegum pop or power ballads. But this is one of the outliers that occasionally happens, is sort of something that's not in that genre and that's expanding it.
What's so interesting about Måneskin is that they are like a massive pop band now, like international and Western American pop music has embraced Måneskin as like a serious group that people are really unironically into, which often does not happen for Eurovision artists, beyond ABBA.
That's right, beyond ABBA. I mean, there has been others, Celine Dion.
Of course.
Apparently,
sorry,
Olivia
Celine.
Newton-John came from Eurovision, or has performed, let's say. So it is important to get Anglophone people to listen to something outside English, and it, you know, it's worth a lot of money to various countries and various groups, you know, if they get some global take-up.
Justin's texted in to say that his daughter absolutely loves Måneskin. They've got a big tween following, I think. I've got cousins who are big into
really?
Them.
Really?
Yeah,
see,
totally.
I wouldn't have picked that.
Caden's getting into it in the studio.
And, I mean, unless you want a rabbit hole, don't look up the voting. I mean, it's just so contested and interesting. Each country gets a top 10 and certain number of points. And then countries have been voting like to their sister countries, you know, sort of political biases. And then they've had problems with the lyrics that could be seen as political, but they're euphemistic because
yeah,
they're trying to not be political.
It's supposed to be apolitical, but it absolutely is not. Like last year, the Ukraine killed it. And there's also all the politics of who's allowed to be there and who's not allowed to
That's
be
right.
there. Russia's been removed, but Israel's still in it, you know?
Yeah, and then, you know, different changes in countries in the Eastern Bloc and who's a country. Yeah, I think didn't the Ukrainian song was talking about put in.
It was a good song.
Oops, it's about Putin. You know, so it's just been so this sort of multi-headed hydra to manage this contest and the voting and the politics.
Now, I'm glad you have brought up the politics of the voting, because very controversial this year. The song we're listening to is from the one that was just like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Why, you think he should have won?
Absolutely. Finland was robbed.
Now, why do you think that?
Well, if you look, okay, I've done the research thanks to Amelia Discreet, who's also a big nerd on this. This got the public vote, but the judges all voted for Sweden. Coincidentally, next year is the anniversary of ABBA winning. So, they want to host it. They want to be able to be.
Because if you win, you host it the next year.
Exactly.
Now, but that's the thing, judges versus popular vote, and then there's country votes, and I don't know how they manage that, you know, legally.
It's very dramatic. If anybody needs to feel something today, go and find the music video, the performance video for Cha Cha Cha, the song we're currently listening to.
So what sort of feelings, Rachel, are you talking about?
I hard to describe with words, Kirsten. A lot of day glow.
Yeah.
A lot of
bowl cut, little
thrusting.
Mustache.
Yeah.
Taking your shirt off.
It's a whole vibe.
Okay, it's interesting you say that about the visuals, because, you know, then there's controversy too, that these songs don't stand on their own. People have gotten into really fantastical, you know, performances that maybe overshadow song quality.
What are you saying? This is not quality?
But, you know, like Lulu's song, you know, it's catchy, obviously, sort of chorus that you can sing along no matter what language you speak.
Cha cha cha, you can sing along to that.
That's right. And you know what? That's my cat's name, Cha Cha.
Aw, shout outs.
That's right. Shout out to Cha Cha. So so you do think this is a good song, right?
I think this is a fantastic Eurovision song. Well, let's put it in the context.
Eurovision.
It's a fantastic Eurovision song.
But it's so funny that it has its own, what is it, an oeuvre? Am I saying the right word? You know, like the kitsch, it's been pretty pro-queer since the 90s, you know, ahead of possibly other spaces. And then it, you know, makes us like, what is kitsch? And is it joyful, it's pretend, I don't know, like, you know, it just makes us question, you know, this space is so interesting.
Totally. There's like, if anybody really wants to get meta brain on it, there are some fantastic YouTube essays. I always feel like a nerd if you suggest a YouTube essay, but people have gone right into all the queer politics of Eurovision, because also there's, you know, complicating factors of some of the countries that are involved in Eurovision are not very queer friendly.
Yeah, and they'll block the transmission of these ones too, which is terrible.
Totally, and it becomes this whole other conversation as well. So there's the politics of Eurovision are fascinating, but also just the camp spectacle is incredible. So highly recommend if anyone needs to feel good today, go watch Cha Cha Cha.
And everyone needs to feel something.
Something, anything, then you should absolutely get it. Someone says Eurovision and quality are not usually used in the same sentence. Rude, very rude.
Well, yeah, what sort of quality? I mean, the production, the stage show, his haircut, I mean, fantastic.
Fantastic. Kirsten, thank you so much for bringing us a bit of Eurovision nonsense on Friday morning. We will talk to you again next week. Have a nice weekend.
All right. Okay.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
All right.